for joining us this evening for Between the Notes here on 88.5 KRFY. I'm your host, Susie Prez. Sit back, relax, and be inspired as you listen to interviews and original music from songwriters across the country as they share ideas, insights, and their personal songwriting journey. Opening an exclusive window into the creative process behind the songs. This evening, I'm very excited. We're live in the studios of KRFY, and my guest is Jackie Henrian, songwriter, musician, poet, and producer and host of Songs, Voices, Poems, which is broadcast on 88.5 KRFY each Sunday evening at 7. Thank you, Jackie, for being here and joining us this evening on Between the Notes.
Thank you, Susie. I'm delighted to be here.
It's wonderful to have you here. And, you know, we're going to just have a conversation and talk a little bit. You've been doing songwriting, and you're a musician and songwriter for a long time. And so let's talk about how it all started. When did you first start writing songs, and what inspired that?
Well, I first started writing songs in 1995 when I joined my husband, Dan Earle, in his retirement. So I stopped working at an executive job, and I wanted to do something. Both of us had talked about doing something in music and art. And so what inspired me most at that point was the extended family. His kids were popping out, grandkids, and I was just falling in love with these kids. So I started writing songs about them.
Children, that's a wonderful subject. Listening to your songs, you know, they say that 98% of songs are written about romance and love, but not all of yours are. So they're about children and other things. What kind of brings up subjects for you to write about?
Well, as I said, I started with children, but then I realized there were a whole lot of other issues and psychology and philosophy that I wanted to write about. So that, and spirituality and things like that. So I wanted to write about broader issues for me. I actually had to pull myself down into everyday images that represented those issues.
Well, you must have a musical background way before 1995. Were your early music? What is your early music background and training? Did you have?
Well, I was lucky to have grown up in Greenwich Village, because there, a woman named Mary Simkovich, she started Greenwich House Music. She actually started the settlement house called Greenwich House. One of the components was a music school. My parents decided they didn't have a whole lot of money, and so I saw an account book. They paid $13 a month for me to take piano lessons every week. So I started studying classical music. I participated in a band in junior high school. Ultimately, I went to the High School of Music and Art, but the key to my songwriting desire was actually living near Washington Square Park, where I heard poets and songwriters test out their material. And my parents had always had artists over to talk philosophy and poet and read their poetry in our house. So I was pretty well immersed in that kind of a culture.
A rich background. What instrument did you play in the beginning? And what, I'm trying to think of what some of those musicians were, those poets were early on, and what age were you at that time when you started taking those classical courses?
Well, I was 6 when I started taking piano. But by the time I picked up the guitar around 11 years old, because that was really the heyday. It was 1964, and from 60 to 64, there were folk singers were just, they were the people you saw walking around in the streets, including Dylan, who at that point lived right down just a couple of blocks from us, and Joan Baez. I mean, all of these people just walked around. Tom Paxton, the Brothers Four, Peter, Paul, and Mary. I mean, some of whom worked with personal family friends of mine who were in the music industry. So, you know, I was probably crawling in between the piano legs on some of them.
So they'd come over for dinner?
They wouldn't come over for dinner, but I could at about 11 to 13 go over to Washington Square Park and hear many of them practicing the songs that they were writing at that time and that they would perform in the cafes, you know, on Bleecker Street, McDougal Street. So they were very inspiring to me because mostly they were inspiring because their songs were so, like, truthful. They were talking about big issues of the time, and they were kind of right in your face about those issues. It was more dramatic than reading a newspaper or listening to radio. Those songs really told stories then.
That's an amazing background, that you were actually there. We just read about it, but you were there. And you were young, so that's being influenced at a young age.
Yeah, yeah, it just felt natural to me to grow up within that culture. So I didn't have to adopt it or hang out in the village to soak it up. It was right around my house.
It was there. So you took classical music and you studied music and it was part of your life. It was everywhere. And it was quite a while before you started writing songs. What did you do musically up to that point through those early adult years?
Well, even though I went into business for 20 years, I never stopped playing guitar. I would usually sing covers of many folk songs. I had 300 folk songs I knew by heart that I could play and pick up the guitar and play at any time, which I did frequently for parties that we had. I also enjoyed classical piano still. About 50 classical pieces that I play regularly because it does something to my brain. It actually relaxes me to play that music. I can feel my fingers and my whole breathing relax, my whole demeanor feel good when I do that.
In 1995, when you started writing songs, which is after you kind of left the business world and that career, do you feel that there was a space that opened up besides the inspiration of your new relationship and the family and the children? Was there a space that opened up and allowed for all that came before to come to fruition as a songwriter?
Yeah, I think what I decided to do was study the craft as much as possible. So as an adult, I took a pantload of workshops everywhere from Nashville to Canada. I studied with a professor from Berklee College of Music, from Jason Bloom and in Nashville, from, you know, a whole lot of people that a songwriting professional in New York City, Alex Forbes. So I studied with these people just to learn what I would have to do to write my own material equally as beautiful as all the covers I'd been singing. And it was really about poetry.
Before we get too far into this, because I have a whole bunch of questions just from the last thing you said, let's hear a song and tell us a little bit about how it came about, you know, kind of where it fits into the picture of what you've just described, why, and a little bit about the song, and then we'll hear it, the name also.
Yeah. The song is called New Stuff Today, and actually, as I said, it was like the first emotional connection I could actually make to be creative after working for 20 years was with the children, and I observed one of my granddaughters, Amanda Wilson, at the age of about 1.5, and one of her telltale characteristics was to wiggle her hands. It was like a communication tool for her. Just the way everything was about that when she got excited. So this is about her discovering her world.
And it's called New Stuff Today, written and performed by Jackie Henrian.
some new teeth this week. Till now it's only been my tongue and my cheek. I love to chew on everything I find, for which my gums were perfectly designed. But now these teeth add new meaning to my daily grind. Wiggling fingers and hands today. Something meaningful I just wanna convey. But words can't possibly describe experientially this green, wet, prickly stuff growing. Got me a new laugh to share. Cause my sister's got something all over her hair. You know I didn't think so before, but lately she's been funny more. Course I didn't know that cornflakes were something you wore. Got me some new feet today. Think I'll wait till Mom's not looking my way. Up to 60 in seconds flat. Even Kitty's no match for that. Think I'll take a twirl around my new habitat. Got me a new smile today. Now everything seems to be coming my way. I'm not sure about this grin. Seems to displace a lot of skin. But I'll keep it up if it keeps bringing home.
That's New Stuff Today by Jackie Henry. And Jackie, that's really cute. And you're right. It's about a little child discovering their world. And you found that inspiration to write a beautiful song. While we were listening to it, you mentioned the person who helped you. This was an early recording. And tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, this was from my first album called Tickle Monster, and it had about a dozen songs related about children, but some of them are quite adult songs. But I worked with Michael Powers, who is a very well-known jazz musician in Seattle, and he also produced that album, and his embellishments were just perfect on many of the songs. So it really, when you can really hear the smile or hear the little cornflakes or something dropping out of her sister's hair. So he was brilliant, and he helped me a lot to understand how that works in songwriting, too, to leave enough space to do something like that.
You've been a student of songwriting. You just, before we heard the song, you talked about all the different workshops you went to, Nashville, New York, getting help in Seattle. For some people, songwriting doesn't come from a study of it. But for you, it did. And listening to this song, the words were darling. It just really brought to life. But the music fit, the melody fit the words so well. I know that's called prosody. So you're a student and studied songwriting. What is your process? Let's just go into that a little bit, because part of this, we want to inspire people. And every songwriter does it different. So uniquely your process.
Well, it's interesting. It usually starts with an idea that I want to communicate about. And it can be anything. Every moment of the day is filled with different ideas. But I do find that I do my best, most creative work when my logical brain is a little bit overtired. Like from midnight till 4 a.m. seems to be a very creative time for me. So I let my mind kind of get a little drowsy. And then I do free writing, timed writings. So I sit down and I say, I write for 10 minutes straight. Several times I do this over the course, let's say, of a week. And then I just don't stop writing. And I take all of this material, I go through it, and I underline phrases that seem particularly fresh to me, that, you know, that I really haven't heard before, that have no cliches in them. And then I arrange them on the page to see if it's kind of a story song or a list song. That's a form I like to follow initially, helps me conceive of things. Then I take those and I develop them using more poetic tools, specific, like metaphor and simile. So like the poet Emily Dickinson suggested, is tell all the truth, but tell it slant. So if I'm talking about love or frustration or something slipping away, perhaps, I don't want to just say, oh yeah, that's slipping away. What I want to do is find a metaphor that represents that kind of idea.
Do you think by putting that thought into a metaphorical sandwich, so to speak, or whatever, opens it up for a broader audience?
Yes, it opens it up for a broader audience, because then people say, oh yeah, I've been there. I know what she's talking about. I never thought of thinking about something that way. And so then it allows the listener to actually bring their own experience into the song, which is a characteristic, a poetic characteristic. You want to have enough space for the listener to participate in the creation of that piece of art.
And then the melodic part comes in.
Well, then my process usually goes through a rhythm, which is another characteristic of song. So I decide in metric rhythm as well as the meter itself. Then I go to the harmony progressions, the chord progressions, and I build it all consistent with the subject of the song. People may have heard that, you know, for sad songs, you choose minor modes. For happy songs, you want major. But there's also progressions that are consistent with the phrases you're using. You want to get back to the root of your chord family when you've finished your idea sentence, is one example. Then the last thing for me usually is melody. And melody is, like you said, prosody, related specifically to the words. So I underline the words that I want to emphasize, and usually they get a high or a sustained note.
That's really interesting. Before we got into this last part, the melody part or the musical part, you mentioned with the words, there's form songs and list songs. What's that difference?
Story songs and list songs.
Oh, story songs.
Actually, yes. Uh-huh. They're both different forms. For me, it helps me conceive of how I craft the fill-in parts. You know, I've pulled the fresh sentences out of my timed writings. And then what I do is I say, if it's a story song, then something has to move. Like you have a beginning of the story, which may not be the time beginning, but it may be you've set the person in a state of mind. And then you ask yourself, then what happens? So how does the story develop? You have to think more like literature. And then what happens? And by the end of the song, which is maybe four verses later, how can you bring to the listener to conclusion in that story? Whereas the list songs are usually just a reiteration of the theme in different and creative ways.
Okay, that's good to know. So you have all this study, these thoughts, this idea, this process that you've come up with that really has worked for you. Mm-hmm. And is there a point in time during the process with one song, it's found its life in you and you have the words and you've done all these things, where it has a life of its own? It has taken its own course.
Oh, absolutely. Usually after I've got its first formation, then I start to perform it in different places. So, for example, the next song you have queued up is called Megastore. And I first performed it for a songwriters exchange in New York City, which at the point that I had written this song, Jack Hardy was leading in his Greenwich Village, Houston Street apartment. And so I played it for him, and I remember his reaction was, "Why did you write that song?" Because unbeknownst to me, he had just learned of a diagnosis of lung cancer for himself. And so he wanted to know how I would have known that, possibly. But I didn't know that was the question he was asking. I was just saying, well, so many of my friends have parents that are now dying or suffering from some illness. So this song, which is a metaphorical one called Megastore, deals with some of those issues and feelings surrounding that.
Well, I think we should listen to it. This is Megastore by Jackie Henrian, written and composed and performed. And then we'll talk about it a little bit more with process.
The swish of automatic doors leads me to a sign that reads, "If you can't get it here, you don't need it." As I wander through the aisles, canyons filled with phosphorescence, I search for what I want, but I don't see it. Excuse me, ma'am, I'm looking to buy some time with the one I love. You see, we're running low, so if you had some in stock, I'd stumble overloaded out the door. I'd max out every card, pay interest at the highest rate, and come back next week for more. Excuse me, ma'am, I'm looking to buy some time with the one I love. I'd buy more time to unpackage our hearts and gather moments lost like stray shopping carts. Perhaps we spent it recklessly on all these gadgets, but I'd trade every one of them to buy a little time. So could you check the
the back. I'm sure other customers would want to buy some too, for a need like mine. Excuse me, ma'am, I'm looking to buy some time with the one I love. I'd like to buy more time with the ones I love.
That was Megastore, written and performed by Jackie Henrian, who's sitting right here in the studios of KRFY. We're live for the Between the Notes musical exploration into songwriting show. And Jackie, that's beautiful. Very heartfelt.
Thank you.
And I really see what you mean by metaphor, how that song, we were just talking before we heard it, about your process. You are truly a student of songwriting, more than any other songwriter I've ever talked to. And so I know we wanted to talk a little bit about when the song, you've done all the work, it came, you've performed it, you're performing it for someone, and it has its own life. And you were talking about how it, we're receptors.
Yeah, I the way I think of things is we pull our creative energy from vibrations that exist outside of us. So it's possible that I could have felt some kind of vibration about Jack and his current, his physical situation, but more important, coalescing it, and then the song kind of, what we become as songwriters is almost like little radios, radio receivers. If we tune up, if we focus ourselves on a particular objective or message that we'd like to communicate, then what happens is we just let that energy kind of drop into our receiving device. And the tuner does the work. Most of these songs felt really easy for me to write because I just was tuned into the objective. And I just felt the various wavelengths that could be possible to express that thing. So the words come out very easily. And then after performing this song, the reaction I got from Jack as well as the other people in the group was like they were astonished. And they felt it was kind of a complete thing just as it existed. You know, songwriter exchanges, sometimes they a lot of people sit around and they kind of give you feedback about it and suggest changes, but nobody, they just snap their fingers, which was the way you had to applaud during the songwriter's exchange, because in order not to make noise for the apartment dwellers next door. But everybody just snapped their fingers, and I had that sense, okay, this song has a life of its own.
Truly. What you're saying is you hone your skills, you go out and you find those tools that you need, and then you allow it to come.
Yeah, that it is very much, you just receive whatever it is, and it comes out through what you're capable of doing.
We've talked a lot about process, a few other kind of questions. Where do you think music comes from? I think you may have said it partly, but where do you think music comes from?
Music, to me, is just an organized pattern of vibrations. I did study hertz of music and tuning for a long time because I was interested in that specifically technically. But music is like speaking. It's like a language. And even if you don't have words, the music itself will transmit emotional content. I truly believe that listening to Mozart, Beethoven, and Chopin, for example, and Bach, had actually, you know, you can convey meanings. When I play Für Elise on the piano, I almost feel like Mozart is sitting next to me on the bench telling me the story of that song. So I think at its best, music conveys that between people. It organizes the vibrations in a pattern that communicates.
I have to just thank you for joining us tonight. Our time is kind of coming up to an end. We could have this conversation for another couple hours, and I bet we will over time. Thank you for sharing your songwriting journey with us, Jackie. And it is a journey, and I'm sure it will continue.
Yes, thank you so much, Susie. I've so enjoyed being here with you.
Oh, you're welcome. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in this evening to this edition of Between the Notes. You can join me next week. My guests will be Dave and Tammy Gunter from Bridges Home. That's on 88.5 KRFY each Tuesday evening at 8. I want to thank Dave Hussey for the Between the Notes theme song. Coming up next is Jack Peterson with the local music show. But we're going to end with another original song by Jackie Henry. And so, Jackie, why don't you tell us just a little bit about this song? It's called Hello Heart.
Yes. Actually, as I've matured, as my vocal cords have matured, I've chosen to focus on lyrics and actually perform them as poetry accompanied with music. And so this is a spoken song, and I wrote this for the 60th anniversary of my parents, who are very intelligent people, but sometimes they've taught me that intelligence sometimes can't replace the heartfelt communication.
This is Hello Heart. Jackie Henry, and again, thank you, Jackie, and we hope you have a good evening.
Thanks, Susie.
Hello, heart. It's the mind here, and it's been a while since we've talked. I don't know where the time's gone, but I wonder how you are. You know I've been busy running the show, but lately I've been thinking I can't do it alone. So I thought I'd call an old friend for a start. Check in again. Hello, heart. Hello, heart. It's the hands here. Been out of touch for an age. We're retired. No demands now. Just living page to page. But sometimes we dream about the days of bread and wine. We'd like to raise that glass again to toast a grand design. So we thought we'd call an old friend for a start. Check in again. Hello, heart. Hello, heart. It's your partner, the one that's been beside you from the start. Sometimes close, sometimes far. Like a loom where fate weaves her art. You know, I can't believe we've had this kind of time. And our life's calligraphy started with one line. So I thought I'd draw you out for a start. Check in again. Hello, heart. Well, hello. It's the heart here. I guess I've hidden out for a while. But I must say, it's been an honor to serve you with a smile. You know, I believe our pulse is music to the stars, forever reflecting wherever we are. But I'm glad you took the time to check in before you go. It's the heart here. Hello.